the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, let's talk a little bit about rural depopulation in the GAA and how well the GAA looks after these issues, because a recent survey and a report given to last weekend's Congress showed that 44% of the island's population is served by only 19% of its GAA clubs. For example, in Connacht, they have 213 clubs, 13% of them total in the country, serving just 8% of the population. We have urban clubs in the likes of Dublin in particular with growing playing memberships but not enough playing space, and then we have rural clubs with dwindling playing memberships but plenty of playing pitches. Michael Foley from the Sunday Times is with us. Michael, how is the GAA going about addressing this?
Hey Matt, yeah, like you've just outlined it very well there. It's such a multifaceted problem. It's not the same, you know, it's not the same solution for every club insofar as the GAA can even provide solutions, when you consider that it's really a social economic kind of policy issue that we're really talking about. But in terms of what the GAA can do, for one thing, I mean, in a very practical way, a demographics officer, for example, is now obligatory for every county board. So that immediately puts a different focus on where people are living in each county. They have developed a suite of ideas across the board that can kind of help overpopulated areas and underpopulated clubs as well, to try and either stay going or to try and maximise the amount of people they can get in and the amount of people they can get playing the games. But, you know, as I say, there's only so much the GAA can do in practical terms. You can talk about, you know, there's stuff like, you know, moving away from what we would consider the kind of traditional structures, I suppose, of county and divisional competition, and look at regional tournaments maybe between, particularly up the middle of the country, where maybe you might have very heavily populated towns still duking it out against small rural clubs, where you could possibly create regional tournaments where teams of equal size could probably play each other lot easier. Change stuff like there's parish and parentage rules in the GAA that very much limit who can play for where, and maybe, you know, relaxing stuff like parentage rules where maybe the sons, when we're talking about GAA in particular, sons of people who may be from an outlying rural club who are now living in an urban area, maybe it can be loosened up so they can go out and play out in the countryside again with their rural club of their mom or dad.
Yeah, actually, as it happens, Michael, just in the last hour, the Irish Examiner website has a story about how the guy in charge of the demographic committee nationwide, Benny Hurl, has suggested that the idea of making it easier for players to transfer to rural clubs from cities and towns should be examined. He says, I'm not saying we do it as a free-for-all like soccer, but can we introduce permissions or sanctions to go from urban areas to smaller clubs on the outside to fill out a team, for example?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I spoke to Benny about this for a piece in the Sunday Times a few weeks ago as well. And, you know, they have some terrific ideas, Benny and the people. He's the head of the GAA's demographics committee, as you say. They have really been looking at this a lot closer, by the way, than probably any other sporting organisation, you know. And in terms of that, like, you know, they're aware that there are issues. There is only so much that the GAA can do in terms of changing their own structures, kind of encouraging more people to play. Another aspect of it that I think is interesting is the idea of, you know, encouraging social enterprises. And this speaks to kind of the GAA looking at itself as more than just, you know, the putting on games and providing sport for people, that they're actually advising clubs and club members on how to develop social enterprises that might actually help keep people in an area. There's an aspect there where maybe more, I suppose, if you want to call it the soft power the GAA might have, that maybe, you know, different units of the GAA can develop better or improve their relations with local authorities, with central government as well, to try in whatever small way they can to sort of influence the whole, I suppose, the investment in planning and economics and so on and so forth that dictate where people actually are. I suppose the key thing here as well, Matt, I mean, there's only so much, as I said, that sporting organisations can do. But as you said, like, there is a wider issue that what you want to do is just offer people the opportunity to live in areas that they want to live in. Because as it is, the reason people are moving east, the reason that all these clubs, that there's not enough clubs servicing the amount of people that are living in one part of the country, is because they're moving to go to jobs that they want, that they want the facilities they want to access. So it's a much larger issue than the GAA itself. But at the same time, sport, and in this case we're talking about Gaelic Games, it's very much, I describe it like a canary in a coal mine. It can tell you or give you an indication of a problem that's coming down the track, or something that's happening right in front of our eyes, you know?
We have a mutual friend in Mayo who is very committed to his local GAA club in a remote part of the county, very much on the basis that it provides a community hub and a community centre. And it's very important for trying to maintain for those who continue to live in that area. But sometimes in talking to him, I just wonder, how does he manage to get the players together for a team? And if the team doesn't have a good year because it can't compete against bigger population centres, how do you keep the players interested? And then how do you keep that team or the club as part of the community if it doesn't, as you know, we might say, conventionally succeed?
Well, I think that's the thing. I think, and you mentioned it there, keeping the club at the centre of the community. I mean, clubs, regardless of whether they have huge numbers or small numbers, they will have good times and bad times. What you want to create is a place where people want to go, where people want to be, that plays a role in your community that you just can't imagine it with. I can't imagine the place without it. And that comes, and that doesn't necessarily, as you said, come down to conventional success. It's, as I say, it's creating an environment that people want to be in. And again, you know, Benny Hurlesh had a very interesting, going back to the chair of the demographics committee, he had a very interesting idea that I thought was, you know, when I thought about it, this is a good idea, you know. At the moment, we have All Ireland Club Championships, for example, that serve as senior, intermediate, and junior. He suggested, why don't we have five or six levels of that? So in a way, if you're in North Mayo, for example, and you're trying to keep a club going and everybody is living, because at the moment, most of North and West Mayo, I mean, the vast, vast majority of Mayo footballers, for example, you could draw a line from Ballina down to the bottom to the south of the county, and the vast, vast majority are coming from the east of that line. There are huge swathes of North and West Mayo where there are no inter-county footballers coming out of now. But if you had something, for example, like a junior B All-Ireland to be chasing, maybe guys in clubs like Kiltane and other places, and I don't want to mention clubs because they're all doing tremendous work to keep going. I don't want to suggest that they're all in crisis. But if you had something like that, it might be something that would draw players back to keep them coming. But fundamentally, I think, and this is what you want from a GAA club anyway, you want it to be somewhere where you want to go back. You want it to be somewhere where you want to be around. You want to be around the people. You want to feel the good vibes that they're giving out. And that remains a fundamental thing, regardless of how many people are in your club.
Okay, and this might go a little bit counter to what I've just said to you, but could it be that we actually have too many GAA clubs in rural Ireland, given the way the population has shifted, that in some counties, Cork is a perfect example, I think of it, there seems to be so many clubs that it doesn't necessarily do them all the good that it could do, and maybe it doesn't do the county good either when you're putting together the best team? Or is it that local loyalties are such that the idea of amalgamating clubs for bigger areas is just not something that people want to consider?
Well, I'll come back to the bigger question in a second, but just in terms of amalgamations, I mean, some of these amalgamations, I mean, it's not even, yes, of course, clubs would like to go their own way, but you know, in some cases, they just have to do it. You know, there's 29. I mean, in Kerry alone, for example, there are 29 clubs involved in amalgamations at minor level because they have to. They just have to keep going. And Kerry is a county, by the way, where the population has gone, you know, has constantly been going up, but it's going into the main urban areas, you know. But to go back to the overall point, yeah, like, I mean, look, throughout the history of the GAA, you will look and you will see clubs that existed and then went out of business for all sorts of different reasons. Some of them were population based. What you need is, I think, you still don't need the number that are there. And I think, you know, you have to fight tooth and nail to try and keep it going in those areas where they are now. Because once they're gone, it's very, very, very hard to get it back. And the amount of, I suppose, the amount of history and the amount of heritage and the amount of what it means to people is so enormous that you don't let it go easy, because once it's gone, it's gone. And also, it's an interesting topic, Matt, because I think a lot of the time with clubs, and it's understandable, clubs all over the country, people who are involved in clubs will know, you're just trying to keep the thing going from week to week to week. And this is the kind of issue you feel will not visit my door for one reason or another. But I can tell you now, whether it's overpopulation or underpopulation, or whatever issue you have in terms of maximizing the amount of people you can get in the door for your club to keep it going. This will visit every single club in the country. It is by far the most fundamental issue facing the GAA.
Okay, can I ask you something else, though, Michael? Have a lot of those clubs done better in recent years in getting more women involved and doing things more with camogie and ladies' football?
Absolutely vital. And again, the GAA are in the process of going through the whole integration piece. They're still saying that that integration between LGFA, camogie and the GAA will happen by 2027.
But is it happening at club level? I mean, are these communities sort of largely still servicing the boys and the men? Might they have more opportunity and a greater even community involvement if there was more women's sport?
Well, certainly, I mean, you can go across and there are a lot of clubs. Out of that 1,610 clubs, I wouldn't know the exact percentage, but there are an awful lot of clubs, certainly that I come across, that are operating the one club model already, which is where, male and female sport coexist in the one club. And again, you know, so much has changed over the years. The GAA and GAA clubs themselves, like when we were kids, it was more of a male kind of engaged pastime and whatnot. Yep. But now, thankfully and rightly, it's a family affair. And it's something where, I mean, you know, the involvement of women members, whether it is in official capacity or coaching, is hugely beneficial to a club. It's enormously beneficial. And that's before integration ever happens. And when that does happen in the coming couple of years, if it does, there's huge hurdles to clear if they want to get there in 2 years. But it will certainly be of huge benefit. But fundamentally, you know, you have to get the foundations of your club right. You got to do all you can to keep that thing going.
Michael Foley from the Irish edition of the Sunday Times, thank you.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.